Other than that, I didn't hear from anybody else.
That was important.
I didn't hear from Al.
I wouldn't put it on edge like that. Okay. Yeah, that's one of the tough parts about this kind of work is that it takes a lot of time to transcribe things. This is what everybody in the world is doing now. The library is all transcribing oral histories. And so there's a big group of people out there now who do this stuff. But they do it for a living. They charge a significant amount of money. But it's also the kind of skill that students have to learn. And given the interest that some of them would have in this topic, I'm sure it wouldn't be that hard to recruit some people, but some attention would have to go to that. You might get some help from people like Brian Allison or Haley or, you know. It's difficult for us to do ourselves, I would say.
Well, mostly because of time, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's not a hard skill to learn.
Yeah, I mean, I take care of the task, but, you know, it's a matter of time. Yeah, I'm willing to try it, but, you know, the only true day that we have really open is Sunday, right?
I don't think it's what you should be doing.
Yeah. No, yeah. You know, for last resort, we couldn't find anybody. But, I didn't hear from Barbara or Haley.
And you didn't send emails.
Tim replied and said,
who?
Tim Tyson. I'm thinking he replied, but maybe not. Someone else replied and said that they were going to be gone. And then Michelle's coming. So. But I wanted to tell you sort of what happened today. I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't know. I'm hoping something, you know, powerful and positive will come out of it, but, you know, we'll see. But I went online and I sent this Senate Bill number 2718 to Kevin, and it's from the Mississippi Legislature. And this is the bill that got passed in 2006 for Mississippi to adopt the K-12 curriculum. And it's not very long. About 3 pages, and the bill is, you know, a guideline. I haven't actually read it, but I started thinking, you know, about the NC Justice Center and the people that I know down there. So I called Beth Jacobs, and I asked her. I was looking for Angela Dunston. Now Beth told me that Angela is now working in the governor's office, and Angela, I met her at the NC Justice Center. She was a lobbyist. So I thought if anybody knew if there was a current bill on the floor, it would be her. But I was speaking with Beth Jacobs, and she said that currently there is no type of bill like this on the House or the Senate, you know, on either one. And I'm not sure what the process is, if it goes to the House first and then the Senate or the Senate or the House. But she said nothing like this is currently existing in North Carolina. So we started talking, and she said that tomorrow she is meeting with her education and law team, because what they're always trying to do is find, you know, interested groups who want to put this sort of thing out there. And then she was telling me about a good friend of hers who was actually able to change the curriculum down in Robeson County. This is where the one week. And that's where she's from. So she's going to put me in touch with him so that he and I can start talking about how was he able to do that in the local school system in Robeson County. And then I started thinking, okay, that could be the first step for what we want to do but, you know, how about, you know, this really be something that the NAACP pushes forward, and maybe Michelle Laws could even speak in the ear of Reverend Barber, and we get, you know, we just sort of get these people around this type of bill and see if we can't present it and get it pushed forward. Now, Mississippi did it in 2006, and it took 3 years for them to get the curriculum into the schools. Now, I don't know if that's a reasonable amount of time, but right now, you know, we're moving in this direction, and we want to talk about a lot of the things that, you know, Tim Tyson and some of these other historians who really looked at the history of the local and state. I think that we might have a good means of doing this right now, or at least getting it started. So,
well,
I was feeling like I was sort of connecting the dots today.
What would you think about our group doing this for the Temple Hill schools?
I think we can do it.
And then building off of that, and then, because what's going to happen is, it just becomes a trend. These different state institutions are going to adopt it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks good. We're going to do it, I think. And the problem will be that what they're going to do is not necessarily what we would do. There's good people to work with, so it doesn't mean that it's...
It starts sharp by the time it gets through Congress, it's pretty dull.
Yeah, right. And that will happen unless those of us promoting it have a handle on what should be
included.
We're in a position to fairly rapidly do that for Chapel Hill, but not for the state. We have resource people who can do it for the state, like Tim Tyson. But that's a much bigger level of doing, and you would want that to come out of pressure from the grassroots.
Now, what makes us more poised to be able to do it in Chapel Hill?
Because we know a whole hell of a lot more about these issues in Chapel Hill than we do with some other place.
Okay.
That's what our study group would be about, is developing that expertise.
Mm-hmm. You know, it would be easier is to create a curriculum out of the town's history.
Yeah, like I doubt seriously if the town, if the Chapel Hill Carboy Schools set up a little committee of people that they're working with, even if it included us, to come up with a curriculum. They would not want to promote the angle of institutional racism, particularly. They would want to talk about what happened. They would not want to talk about why it happened. So they would have some decent stuff on the civil rights movement, unless there were certain kinds of people developing this curriculum, that would be very, from a knife to a bludgeon.
Oh, what instrument?
They do it like the university did it, And then we should study the university website and look at this virtual museum they have. What it is, it's eclectic.
Okay.
What I mean by eclectic is it has lots of little snippets and pieces and displays, and, you know, stories and stuff like that, stories in particular. But they're not connected in an analytical framework that talks about why these things developed in the way that they did.
Is it possible to create a curriculum based on the current mode of education, which is fact-based, and then give an explanation behind that without being editorializing?
I think everything's editorialized. I know what you're saying. You're talking about the way they do things in school.
Right.
Yeah. I think that would be an obstacle. But that's what we have to do, I think. It doesn't do any good to have a nice story about George Moses Horton taught himself to read, learned to do this poetry stuff on campus, and he was the first black poet who wrote out against slavery in the South. So that is just a pat on the back for some picturesque character in Chapel Hill. And that's the kind they do. But it's a whole different issue to actually look at the conditions of life that brought about this situation where George Moses Horton, you know, why did he have to teach himself to read? Why didn't he speak out so bitterly against slavery? And yet, those poems have never been promoted, whereas his love poems for students have been promoted. You know, he can be presented as a buffoon and a drunk. Not that hard to do that. He could be presented as just an aberration. And if you don't put it in its real historical context, the importance of it in terms of why we have the problems today never comes through.
Well, I think what Beth told me about this guy down in Robinson County was one of his arguments, I guess, with the local school district was, you know, he would say, well, these children need to understand that it's not by their choice that they live in extreme poverty or that they are this way because their parents didn't try to do something better or care enough. And he talked about, and she didn't call it institutional racism, she called it institutionalized something else. But that was the angle that he came at, saying that we need to teach them the truth about what happened to their people in right. this area in order for them to be able to kind of move forward and heal and have an understanding of why, you know, it doesn't make sense, why do I live like this?
Right.
And so
right.
I don't know if his curriculum sort of sounds like what we want to do more than something that was pretty and fluffy.
Yeah, it sounds, I might even know this guy, you know his name?
I can't think of it, she told it to me, and it's a friend of hers, and she is, she told me she would get in touch with him tomorrow, and make it a point that he and I get in touch next week, and it's a matter of me going to Robeson County, or us meeting somewhere, so instead of trying to completely reinvent the wheel, just find out what we did.
That sounds like a really good thing. Why don't we start a list of, things to do. And so one of them is to get these resources like that bill which is up there
mm-hmm.
and make that part of our study pack.
Okay.
And there may be other examples of people doing this. And so we look at some of those and we say, well, you know, how well do they accomplish what we want to accomplish? Which we obviously have to discuss what we want to accomplish. And another would be getting feedback and collaboration from this person who you're talking about. There are a number of people in Chapel Hill who we could have our meetings with, who could come to our meetings and have a lot of knowledge about certain aspects of things. So for instance, for the broader understanding of why were slaves deprived of education, and after slavery, why was it so difficult for free black people to establish good education, and how did that work under Jim Crow? And what did black people do for themselves to overcome this? There's a historian at UNC who's a friend, knows Terry well. Her name's Heather Williams.
Heather Williams?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the book that she published that was got her job is called Self-Taught. And that's basically what it's about, is what black people did, not just in North Carolina, but, you know, in the whole domain of slavery and post-slavery, up until I forget how far she takes her story, you know, but she talks about why was it made illegal to read and write? What did black people do clandestinely to overcome that? How did that lead to the proliferation of black schools after slavery? What were the obstacles put up against that, like the black codes and some of the efforts of white people to keep education out of the hands of black people? Why was that so important to white people? And she has some examples from Chapel Hill, I think. I don't know how much she knows about Chapel Hill itself, but she has a big solid framework on all of that. And then there's a historian who's close friends with Tim Tyson. And I'll see if his name didn't mix up with Dave Sosowski. And he wrote a book called The Long Freedom Road, I think is what it's called. And that is about the struggle over desegregation in North Carolina. And in particular, I mean, he tells a story that I didn't know. I suspect that I've heard about it. But basically that what happened when there was desegregation was virtually all of the black schools were dismantled. And it wasn't so much desegregation as that they were either torn down or turned into something else, and then they were included in politics of inclusion into a pre-existing white system. And that was the beginning of a huge problem because it's just not that right by Lincoln High School. Here's Chapel Hill High, Tibbetts. And most of your teachers will lose their jobs. All of your cultural traditions will be subordinated. There won't be any determined effort to educate either teachers or students or parents about how to deal with this situation in an anti-racist way, in a way that will continue to affirm Black learning and all of that. And that's my theory about where the achievement gap comes from, is that those kinds of efforts, the initial unjust allocation and so forth, but then the ongoing lack of any kind of determined retraining, rethinking of curriculum, rethinking curriculum. All of that stuff was just done away with. And so, my opinion that within a space of a few months of coming into a white public school, about half of the Black students who were good students, they were rebellious, they were angry, they were, it's a little bit like your experience of coming in from a school that was halfway good for your kids, and coming to Chapel Hill, and all of a sudden, everybody's got high expectations of you. You don't have much in the way of Black teachers. You don't have successful Black role models. Particularly bad in Chapel Hill because it's not a city that has much in the way of opportunities for Black people beyond the low wage jobs and stuff. So it's a really nasty situation. Basically, the kids got alienated, their parents got confused and buffed up, and the whole thing has been a mess ever since. And the white educators have learned to talk the Neil Peterson talk, and it just doesn't attack the problem at the fundamental root of the problem. So you don't get any kind of great resolution. You can improve things here and there by these programs, but anyways, and all of that can be understood if we understand the way the whole history of Japan developed. And it saves you from the bad situation of going in there with a proposal that basically can tell a different story but can't really explain anything much. We need more Black teachers. We need support systems for Black students. Why do you need support systems for Black students? That's what schools are supposed to be. It's like the university promotes all this whole stuff in Chapel Hill where Black workers have low wages. And then the liberal aspects of the university, like the Y, stuff like that, develop all these programs to help poor people who are Black. Well, that's a good thing to do, but here's the university created the problem in the first place. And there's no criticism of that, there's no discussion of that, there's no plan to keep that from continuing. And so you get a lot of emphasis on serving the community, helping the community, which is all basically paternalistic, and it doesn't get at the underlying problem. But you can understand those things historically, and we have these folks,
hey,
including some people like Jim and so forth, who understand this. And you've got a local finance, and you've got a local. Really, I mean, just the Selsky guy is pack breaking. I don't think studies like this have been done for other studies.
Is he at UNC or at Duke?
If he is any place, he's at Duke. He might be at East Carolina or something.
Okay.
Selsky. I know his writing. I just know his name. Yeah.
He and Tim collaborated on the book about Betrayal of Democracy in Bloomington in 1898. So they're the 1898 experts.
Okay. There's such a nice handout on that. It was, I think it was an insert in the News and Observer
right.
in November a couple of years ago. It's very concise.
I think it's probably good. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have these resources. And we have the research work that I've done, which is actually leads up to school desegregation. It doesn't really deal with school desegregation. But then this Hill woman. No. You see that square looking dissertation on the very bottom of the second row of the top. Yeah, that one by, hold on, it's got a purple color.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, so just describe that for us.
Local histories, local memories of desegregation, extending critical theory to improve understanding of continuing problems. Virginia Hill, 1997.
Okay, so Virginia Hill was a white teacher in the Chapel Hill Public Schools. And she was one of those teachers who did get it and who did try to do all the kinds of rethinking of how you have to deal with the desegregated schools. And I think it took her a while. She learned most of the stuff through her interactions with parents and students. And she's white, you know. And I think she was involved in a lot of struggles concerning this. But she was a teacher, and she has that framework for looking at things. And that dissertation there is basically the story of Chapel Hill desegregation through the eyes of the people who did it, through the Nate Davises and stuff, or interviews with them, and they're quoted at length because she wanted them to speak for themselves, and they were incorporated into the whole production of Hidden Voices, We're Still Here and Moving, and they were incorporated into this class that is my research together with her research that Jacqueline Hall did about the whole desegregation of the Chapel Hill schools.
I just opened to page 80, just fell open. The loss of cultural events further destroyed a sense of student identity. The events were what students looked forward to as a rite of passage. These losses were not replaced by new ways of gaining positive identity as students in the desegregated schools. Elizabeth Carter expressed her feelings of loss this way. I live right near where the Art Center is, later moved to Jones Ferry. There was a local ball field. It used to be Carborough Park, that's where we had the football game for Lincoln High. People walked past our home on Main Street going to the football games. And I missed that part because I never got to walk in that crowd to the ball game.
Yeah, so the actual participants tell very poignant stories about this, and they'll describe how it affected the kids or how it affected them, anything like that. And
wow.
This kind of stuff, it's there, it's on the shelf.
It's completely personal, relevant, deep, you know, it's not an abstract
right.
Something that...
And so that's part of our knowledge base that we would want to protect and figure out how to incorporate that into curriculum things or educational pamphlets for the NAACP or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure what we want happens locally first, so that when we go in front of the big ones, that we're sound and solid and... Mm-hmm.
I think most people would think it would be better to go to the state level quickly, mm-hmm. because they probably can't really conceive of how to do this thing, except the traditional way, you know, set up a commission, develop a curriculum, pay a consultant, everybody does. But I think that all of this stuff that we're doing around everything needs to be rethought from the bottom up. You know, I mean, they've addressed all these problems in the Chapel Hill schools, and basically they hire these curriculum experts and spend tens and twenties and huge amounts of money. And the folks aren't from this community. They might be very good and professional and have a lot of good points to make and stuff, but they don't know people here. They might think they're getting this, that, or that across, and they might not be touching people. You know, you've got to have close relationships with parents and teachers, and parents and teachers and students, or I don't think you're going to get very far, you know, just dealing with Neil, which I'm not saying don't deal with Neil.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that can't be left out, but I don't think it can be just a bunch of experts deciding this is what we should do and we'll implement from the top down. And still, nobody ever knows what happened, you know, where this stuff comes from. So, that sort of leapfrog a little bit in terms of what we were talking about our last meeting, but I just think, and partly I'm thinking this way because I'm not quite sure what's going on with me, but it's not clear to me that I might have as much time as I thought. So. But if we could get on that track as a study group part of the history committee, I think we could probably, there's so much good stuff already developed,
right,
that we could sort of bite into that fairly quickly and develop some kind of a presentation for the local branch, and then maybe other people could take that and talk about how to do it with Neil and all
that. Well, with that in mind, what do we do with the library? How do we access it? And we talked about maybe last meeting kind of approaching this as a book club. The history committee, and we have like several dissertations to read. You know, if one person takes it, reads it, and reports back to the group, because there's volumes of information to go through.
Yeah, there is. Well, and my question about that is striking a balance between how much time we want to spend on real close readings of things and how much time we want to put into developing an understanding might not be as deep, but might get us going. You know, like I had a little bit of a book club with my dissertation. And, you know, that's just a whole bunch of really detailed information that, we need to somehow, some people at least, need to master some of that information. And for others, we maybe need to distill it down into something smaller, which was what I was working on when I developed some writing. It's called Fess Up, Silent Sam, Challenging Institutional Racism in the Southern Part of Heaven. And it had a section on education and a section on environmental racism and a section on employment, you know, stuff like that. But I think we could develop. I have that I can give to folks. And it's not complete at all, but it's a start. And that's what I was thinking about doing. When I was thinking about doing it sort of more by myself.
Fess Up, Silent Sam.
Yeah. And see, that encompasses the university as well as the community.
Where is that work right now, Yanni?
It's on my laptop over there. Yeah. And I haven't had enough energy to pull it off the laptop.
Do we want to schedule time for us to go through that?
Sure. Schedule, what do you mean, go through that? What do you mean?
My laptop. We talked about that last meeting. Because it helping your eyes and your hands. And you just tell me where to go.
Yeah.
What I'm looking for.
And put things on thumb drive,
well,
assembled.
Or put it on our website or put it someplace.
Mm-hmm. Because we also talked about having a second repository of information.
And that's what you meant when you said the library, right? Yeah. I think that's exactly what we need to do.
So what are those two action items?
Those are two action items. One, to sit with Yanni and go through his electronic documents and secure them in some other site. We have to
get them.
Copy
and
secure.
Right.
Okay. And the second one? The website.
Well, iBiblio. We have to make contact with, got the gentleman's name, but we have to make contact with him. And see
Paul
if,
Jones.
Paul Jones, if that fits their model. We do have to read the licensing, whatever the documentation that they have, so that it doesn't say that somewhere down the line they own the works.
What I just bring you up today, Nancy, because I did not get the information to you from Sunday's meeting, but we had discussed the Truth to Power project is on a generic Google site right now.
Right.
And only we'll be able to sort of go in and access it to be a working group, but what we were thinking is we want to keep some of it public, but then have a sort of like a side room where we kind of do, right. But we don't want to put all of this information on that Google website, because then Google becomes the owner of it.
Oh, yeah.
So we were
trying
to figure out, Kevin was thinking of, you know, three or four different repositories, right, where
we
can house
the
information
to the data. It's free and available, but if Google has it, they can lock it away just like anyone else.
So iBiblio came up because that's a local,
right?
That's a local
corporation in partnership with the university.
Mm-hmm.
So so they have tons of file space, but we have to read through the criteria.
Make sure you're not giving away something.
Now, we meet each other moderators or collaborators of the website. Well, I ran into a difficulty where Dawn wanted to have a different email address linked to it.
For the privacy.
Right. Because I'm not an administrator, I couldn't make that change. And right now, you're the only administrator. Is it okay for me to make myself an administrator?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Harry couldn't get into it either.
Who could?
Harry Taylor. He tried and was having trouble getting in, but said that he would keep trying. So I got that email this afternoon, and I didn't tell you, but I'm telling you now.
Yeah, let me get your laptop.
Yeah, I'll tell you the problem that I have, and I may have said this before, but it seems to be becoming more clear, is that I can focus in and have a good conversation with a group of people, but if I sit down by myself with my computer and try to move some of these documents around or look for documents or write or anything like that, I just fall asleep.
That's not...
And I probably would be able to manage, actually, if I had somebody here with me while I was trying to do that. I'd say, Yanni, Yanni.
Come back.
But that's been my big problem, is that I no longer seem to have the individual focus ability that I would need for doing a lot of writing and stuff like that.
So I spoke with Gene on Sunday, and we're really trying to keep the weekends sort of open for Sandy and Joyce and Gene. So Gene has suggested, I think Monday through Friday, but that Mondays and Tuesdays seem to be Johnny's busiest days. So then that's where it came down. So then it came down to Wednesdays and Thursdays and Friday nights.
Having
like this come together, if we were to just go ahead and try to make this a weekly.
Use those days.
Yeah, so I don't know if any one of those days is better for you, or some weeks will be good, some weeks won't. Fridays for he and I are really the one night of the week that we just pizza night and movies with the kids, and that sort of brings them over.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it holds them over through the weekend, at least most of the time.
What are you looking for?
I found it.
Okay.
What did you find?
I'm on the Truth to Power site, and I added me as an owner so that I can do the administrative work for you.
Okay. So why don't you go now, not necessarily turn that off, but go now to my desktop and find the folder that says important legacy documents.
All right.
And then look for Fess Up Silent Sam.
Okay.
And there's two most. Just look at the times when they were created or updated.
September.
And is that, there's two formats, because I got this this X,
there's a series.
Yeah, what's the...
I don't know what the format is, because it's a Mac.
Yeah.
It's a presentation.
It's the regular Mac Word. Oh, it's Word. So there's two different kinds of Word documents. There's Word doc, and there's Word doc X. And for the most part, I start working in Word doc X, and then I save it as Word. because a lot of people can't really deal with Word.exe.
Right.
So I think that the file that we would want to pull is the one that says fessup.x or fessup4.x.
Number four.
Yeah.
That's the latest one.
Yeah. So why don't you just pull that off and just put it by itself on the website. I mean on the desktop, and then just open it up and look at it. Drag, not a drag and drop.
I just opened it.
You can put, you can, if you just open the document, you can put save as, and just the only thing you'll have to change is that it's saved to desktop.
And why do I want to put it on a desktop when it's already in your folder?
Just because we want to put it as one of our resource documents that we want to put in a bundle with others for our library and for our working group. You know, we might put it in a burn folder eventually with other documents. To me, that's the thing that's been hard for me to do, believe it or not. And I don't really want it mixed up with all the others. Sometimes I might pick the wrong document to edit or something like that. But if we get our most recent version, out there, and then we can put it on our own. You know, we can put it on our own site, and then from there, I'm not sure the best way. Maybe we want to make it a Google document for those of us in the study group, in which case we can all go in and look at it and make comments and things like that. But we don't necessarily have to do that. But at least it would be there for each of you to look over and see what I've accomplished so far. Terms of pulling things together into more short format.
Can you buy a hard drive?
Yes.
Get a whole bunch of them.
We talked
about that. Yeah, he's got a terabyte drive he hasn't used yet.
If we put everything there, then we don't have to worry about the Google and the IDEO and so forth. And then it's like,
no, it has to be accessible by the internet.
See, I can just buy one and plug it into my computer, and it's accessible to me, but it's not accessible to you.
I was thinking of that it's there just in case for the Google issues.
Everything's there. Right?
That would be backup.
Right.
It's
all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's what I got. Backup is to be backup.
You have to go pull from, and then.
Right. Like if your hard drive crashes and all, you lose all that. You got it on the external hard drive. That was the strategy that the UNCNAP people used, but unfortunately, they had their backed up documents on an external hard drive that was stored in the same room as their computer, and so people stole the hard drive as well as the computer. So it's not a totally sufficient backup system. You know, the other thing you can do is burn stuff to DVD or whatever and put it in your safety deposit box. You know, whatever, or you can put it on the web someplace. So, have you had a chance to look at that document at all?
No.
Why don't you open it up and pass it around just so you can see sort of where we're going.
Which one is this one?
This is the Fess Up.
Oh.
How do you get the document?
What year is this Elaine Massey housekeeper holding the Fight Institutional Racism sign?
That I keep forgetting. Like 2001, 2002. Maybe before that.
First lesson is a summary of the history of black freedom struggle and institutional racism. Many hands recovered the suppressed history during the past 70 or 80 years. I've gathered my own primary research findings, trying to weave all these sources into a coherent critical narrative. Fessup draws on two more detailed documents, Second Generation Black Youth and the Origins of Civil Rights Movement at Chapel Hill, and my dissertation. Summary of the Bell Ward fight and the state highway marker for the Freedom Ride.
Yeah, it's sort of a combination of research kind of stuff, you know, so that people understand the basic development of slavery in North Carolina, how the universities involved in that, what the struggles have been to challenge that, and how it's affected things in Chapel Hill and UNC in terms of education, so on and so forth. And at the on the other hand, it's also a documentation of the ways that we locally have begun to organize to challenge institutional racism. And the key struggles there were Bella Ward and the Freedom Rider Monument and stuff like that. And so it was, the idea of it is supposed to be both a narrative, analytical source and a documentation of a couple of important struggles from the point of view of understanding how this struggle on the cultural front works, what it's for, how you actually do it, that kind of thing. Because I've definitely learned some lessons about how to do things.
Is that in here?
Yeah, I don't think I've gotten to it yet, though.
So it was four, a culmination of 1, 2, and 3?
Yes. It's the updated version. There may be parts of 1, 2, and 3 that need to be incorporated in 4. Because it's not necessarily totally in order. But, it's basically my each succeeding update. I actually have a variety of documents that go into more or less depth on each of these themes. Like historically I've got the 1996 document that I put out that exposes the history of the university based on its building name. And this was actually one of the starting places for this movement, because what happened was I handed these out on Martin Luther King Day, and we had a big demonstration. And it was just something I worked up myself. We didn't have a history committee there and stuff like that. And a professor named Alfie Cravey got a hold of it and started using it in her classes. Other people, you know, in the NAACP, they all got interested in it. And it started this whole thing on campus where student groups and people would look into this stuff and be shocked by it, and then it became an issue. because like watching Kristen Booker just happened to stumble across it. That's a very funny story. She stumbled across it when I met her at Redmond's. They were sitting next to me, and one of them, I heard the name Yanni. And I, there was these three women sitting there, college students sitting next to me. And I probably had one or two beers. So I just looked on in and started talking with them. I said, I heard the name Yanni. That's my name, and I don't hear it very often. It's one of your names, Yanni. Or do you know me or something? And it turned out that one of Kristen Booker's friends was named Yanni, the African-American student. And so I sat and just talked with him about Caroline and this, that, and the other. And naturally, I started talking to him about Sondra as well. Named after the head of the clan. No, you're kidding me. That's true. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, why don't you go over here to this library and you look in such and such a place and you'll get the information that'll show you that it's true. And so then Kristen Booker got a hold of this and she was just outraged. Someone who has much higher standards for the university. Mm-hmm. And so she ended up forming, she found out that all this, she said she didn't believe me, you know, but she went and did this research for herself and found out it was true and decided that she wanted to do something about that. That's how it works. She finds that they want to do something. And so she formed a group of her friends in the Black Student Movement, which she happened to be coming into and ambitious about, and, you know, talking to them and some white students and so forth. And she formed this group called Students Seeking Historical Truth. And so what she wanted to do was bring awareness to the campus and get folks on campus talking about this. And so they developed some brochures, and then she wanted to decorate Saunders Hall with anti-Klan stuff and do it at night and have people wake up to it in the morning and all that. And she talked with me about the idea, which I thought was a brilliant and daring thing to do, because you never knew what was going to happen in terms of whether you get kicked out of school or something. And her initial idea was to have a dummy being lynched and hanging from one of the trees in front of Saunders. And that kind of might have been okay, but it took me aback. And I thought, that could easily be interpreted as a hate crime. And so I sort of suggested maybe that was a good mix. They developed this whole thing, and one of her friends, a white student, did art, and they made these big, very colorful anti-Klan banners. Oh, they weren't anti-Klan banners, they were Klan banners. They looked like Klan banners. And made them on sheets and stuff. And then they made, I think, two of those, maybe three. And then they made a big poster that explained the history of the Klan and its development after emancipation, and the role that Colonel William L. Saunders played. And then a whole bunch of big posters that did that in a sort of a distilled way. And we organized the group. I went out at 3 o'clock in the morning over to where Saunders is. And I brought a ladder and I brought a video camera and like the people who were involved were, when you look back on it, it's pretty astounding because the people, because it was the head of the Black student movement, and it was a variety of people who were leaders in the Black student movement, but they didn't want to do it in the DSMA. And then it was also Marion Schaub Warner, who was the leading white student anti-sweatshop student on activist, and Sandy Chapman, and myself, and a couple of friends of hers. And we did this thing. We put up 77 posters taped to the building that said one poster for every year since the building had been put up. And, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff, and these big banners over the doors, and nooses hanging from the trees, but no bodies. And then what happened? That was all finished by like 5 or 6 in the morning, and we were all worn out, so we went home, and this was a big failure. Really big failure in Butler. So we weren't there to watch over all this. And so what happened was the campus police came along, and by 8 o'clock it had all been torn down, every shred of it. And the campus police had launched an investigation, and they were fingerprinting, doing fingerprinting. They made it a crime scene, and blah, blah, blah.
Fingerprinting.
And this really pissed off some of the people working in the building. You know, as if
they were taped up. It's against the law to tape a poster to a building.
We did have enough foresight to make sure that we had photographs of this stuff. And so I got a good photograph of the banner, the Klan banner being put up over Saunders and with the Black students and all of that, and took it into the Daily Tar Heel. And, you know, got them to scan it, and they printed it with a story. But it was more of an editorial, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But then I also took this photograph, and somebody suggested putting it into some kind of national publication. And so I contacted the Journal of Higher Education, which is the most read journal in academia, you know, for administrators, and not just, you know, brings all the administrators up to speed on what's going on everywhere in academia and stuff. And I sent them the photograph, which they even paid me a little bit for. And so, like the next day, maybe not the day we woke up, but maybe the next day after it, which there was front page, I think there was a front page story in the Daily Tar Heel, and there was a story in the National thing, and the story in the Daily Tar Heel was basically an editorial, not a factual thing. Didn't interview Christy Booker or any of the students or anything else. There might have been a little something. But basically what it was, this opinion, and they got the opinion of the campus police, which was that this was vandalism. So they had to take it down. And they got the opinion of the leading North Carolina history professor, who was this guy named Powell, who wrote the big picture book on UNC. And he said, He said, I think this is a misuse of history. This is giving meaning to something based on our current day values that wasn't there in the past. So it's unfair use of history. And these things are all true, but you can't really frame it with this means that there's something wrong with the university today. And he said, everyone in those days believed in white supremacy. So he used that phrase. You get him?
I hope so.
And
everyone believed in white supremacy.
Yeah.
That's so, how it was.
That's right. That's
they
how it was.
People didn't know any better.
And naturally, to me, this is a totally racist thing to say to begin with,
because
you're not part of everyone. You know, you're not part of everyone.
At least a handful of black people might have thought it wasn't such a great idea.
It was 30% of the population.
Yeah.
We probably didn't think that way. And it's also not a fair representation of white people, because there was lots of white people who might not have believed in white supremacy all the way, and there were in fact people, prominent people at the university, you know, from the time of the Klan on up, who were white, who did not support it, including Cornelius Spencer's brother. And then they were four sources of people want. Then they talked to the chancellor. And, oh yeah. So they talked to the chancellor, and he said, we're not going to chisel any names off of any buildings. Which, you know, he said that would be a erasing of history, it would be a suppression of the truth, so on and so forth. And of course, we had never.
It just never happened. I mean, you know,
we never asked them to chip the names off. That was just the stereotype that everybody has when an issue like this comes up. Because what we wanted to do was leave it on there, but add another plaque that said, "Here is the real history, and this guy was a Klansman." Blah blah blah. So that it wasn't hidden from history. And then the fourth response was the Daily Tar Heel's own opinion. And the Daily Tar Heel said, you can't really criticize the university on these grounds. You sort of along with Powell had said, and you can't really criticize them doing something that was legal. I mean, it was legal to name buildings after white supremacists in those days. And it was because it was legal to own slaves. And I thought to myself, it was not legal to own slaves in 1924. You know, they may not have thought about what they were saying, but that's basically what they said, was that
in 1924,
yeah,
violent enforcement.
What does that have to do with anything? That, I mean, people who did the renaming were white supremacists. They weren't slave owners. So,
just brings it all up.
This is the kind of development of this movement that's taken place, and that led to all kinds of things. You know, there was a big teach-in. There was a speak up and a pit, there was a few other things. And, you know, that student group didn't hang together because the year was coming to an end or whatever. But it's got the ball rolling in a lot of ways. And
so maybe those students in the did anything happen?
No, nothing happened. But I mean, what I would have preferred is that we had gone as a group to the police and said, give us back our stuff. And, you know, and this is perfectly legal what we did, and, you know, we lost the teaching moment here, and blah, blah, blah. But Christy didn't want to do that, and this was a black-led movement, so I didn't push it too hard my way. But some of that stuff is all connected.
So are those photographs in your...
And I've got a video of everything. Which I've always thought should be made into a little movie.
You too.
And would create a small explosion when shown. Yeah, I think it would be very, I mean, I think students would say, whoa, this happened here? What is this all about? I haven't heard of this.
Oh. Get some students to want to recreate the moment.
So that's what I'm thinking about our library part. I'm not quite how we got on off on such a tangent, except that I like to tell stories about this stuff.
Yeah, the stories is what makes it relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why, you know, I wanted to include that stuff in TESA. That's been a slogan that I've used for a long time.
Because
that was that statue is all about is honoring white supremacy, not our white heritage, but white supremacy, and contributing to this whole massive rewriting of history that says that. Slavery was not the cause of the Civil War, and all that. We have a right to our history, blah, blah, blah.
Reconstruction was a terrible, terrible time.
It was. A lot of people believe all that stuff today, and if you go out now and do something about Silent Sam, you'll get a tremendous barrage of those kinds of reactions from students, from all kinds. And that's the kind of thing that really gets in the way of supporting the housekeeper struggle.
Is
the stereotypes that people have of what led to the historical situation we have today. You know, black people got the vote, they messed it up, they had their chance, blah, blah, blah.
I'm through helping.
We tried to help them, we let them.
Yeah, that's right. It's this whole paternalism thing, you know. We did the right thing. We tried to give them X, Y, and Z. They always wanted
more.
More and more. So, I think there's a couple of other things that we could put in our library. One is a book called The Debt. It's on the third shelf on the right.
Yeah,
it's Randall Robinson's book, and it explains that whole idea exactly about if you're a kid growing up in Washington, D.C., and you're black, and you're not doing well in school, X, Y, and Z, then there's this whole commemorative landscape all over the place. What are you doing?
Just looking.
Whole commemorative landscape all over the place that celebrates white supremacy or, you know, the messing up of Indians and all of that. What else are you supposed to, and gives you no history of yourself and your own struggles and the ways that you have promoted, you know, human rights for all, then, you know, what conclusion does that lead to for a child sitting there on the schoolhouse that stairs, you know. My fault. There must be something wrong with me.
Let's hear the story.
It's not because of the system. It's not because of fundamentally the powerful forces that maintain this stuff. It's because my parents didn't do a good job, or my
didn't work hard.
Yeah, you had the right job.
You work hard.
So, what's our list of stuff that we need to put together? That's what I'm talking about to begin with. Is what is our list of resources that we want?
Oh. Well, we've got this, but I'm going to try to meet with that guy from Robeson County.
So I think we need a little list, 1 through 12.
Okay.
We need
a new page.
Right.
Action plan.
We need. We need the bill from Mississippi.
Got it. Okay.
We need the we need my dissertation, my thesis, best up. We need
this dissertation.
Virginia Hill.
Virginia Hill dissertation, yeah. We need the yeah. And we need we couldn't start off with just sections of my dissertation because the stuff on education is sort of in one place.
And the healthcare stuff is in one place.
Yeah,
that was excerpted for.
Yeah, we could excerpt it if we didn't want to, you know, put it all on there. But it is all one document right now, anyways.
We want to put these things on the Truth to Power project site.
Yeah, we'll put a link right now. We can put them on PAC's website. And we'll do send a link to that for them to download it. That's that way we're keeping it within the group.
Right.
Okay, so.
It'll just be a link. I'll place it up.
That creates a link.
Right. It'll be on the Truth to Power website, and all this is a link to the document. Because I can name the link whatever I want. The hyperlink will go to a location of the PDF where they download it.
Yeah, maybe we can.
Well, I don't know what we can do with the debt except have a link that says
to Amazon or something.
Yeah, this is where you find it, and this is these are the pages.
John Updike, the world itself is stolen goods. All property is theft, and those who have stolen most of it make the laws for the rest of us.
So I just wrote Kevin creates a link to these documents,
yeah.
And you'll know what that means.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave Sosalski's book.
Okay.
So
his book is called The Long Freedom Road.
It's called A Long Freedom Road.
Okay. Is it up here?
It might be. I'm not quite sure where that book is at this point.
Did you want anything by Sosalski or thinking on Wilmington in this particular? This is sort of Fess Up and Chapel Hill based, right?
Well, this is the background on desegregation in North Carolina, and then we want Heather Williams on the whole efforts of Black people to educate themselves.
And her book was called Self-Taught.
Yep.
Self-taught, right.
in American education is slavery and freedom.
I sent the link to your email.
So these would be our study and resource materials in the general. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And so
do you want me to check with Karen and see if he might have any suggestions? Is that necessary at this moment?
Yeah, I think you should read him the list and tell him about the discussion and see if there's any other real important resource that he thinks that we ought to have. You know, there could be a section out of the Wilmington Report, which is this huge, massive document, and it's on a PDF. You know, we can easily download the whole thing. I've got it on the computer someplace. There may be a section on education. I think there probably is a section on education in Wilmington.
The Wilmington Report was by commission.
A Wilmington Report by a state authorized investigative commission. And it'll be coming up for more discussion in a few months. And there's reparations issues that are linked to it and things that this could very easily be the launch point or the basis for proposals to include this history in the curriculum, which I think it already is a proposal, but I don't know how far that's going. But my view is, you know, we could contribute that to that, but I'd rather not see it take us off course of dealing with the local. Because, you know, my experience with all of this stuff about challenging institutional racism and so forth is that the hardest thing for people to do is deal with the local reality. Because that's really where you have to come against power. That's truth to power. And it's easy enough to talk about Wilmington.
Right.
You know.
And it's long ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, and so then if you bring in the fact that Wilmington was organized by university people, it was a magnum of the whole thing. That's quite dicey. So there was some broader issues besides just our top of our collection of well, we probably shouldn't leave here without a plan of how to get this done. So
part of that plan would be the whole computer stuff, right? Kevin needs to get with you, Yanni. We need to get those files in a safe place, right? And we need to get them on the website so we can have access to the resources. Do we need to contact Dave and Heather soon, or sort of read through their stuff, have discussions about that first, and then maybe try to bring them in a little later?
Well, this is obviously, if you make this a study group, and you have that list of materials to study, that would take you 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Michelle.
Oh. 9:15. 8:15. Ha ha ha.
you got a Black Panther hat on.
That's exactly right. I thought you'd enjoy this.
I do.
Okay. All right.
I can see the Black Power right there.
Hello, my darling.
Hello.
I was just talking to Fred. I didn't know we were doing the endorsements on Saturday. We haven't even had a form, but he says he already knows.
I don't know anything about it.
That's a long word conversation.
I will use your wonderful time.
Everybody's some water.
Bless you. But you know, Bill would want us to have a form, don't you think?
Of course he would.
I was suggesting instead of having the NAACP meeting in October, turn it into a form.
Oh,
yeah. And he says, but we're doing the endorsements on Saturday. The Breakfast Club, because you know they endorse. But it used to go hand. We used to do the forum, and then the Breakfast Club does the endorsements.
Well, the Breakfast Club organized the forum too.
Bill did. That's right.
But
the NAACP got to put their name on that because it wasn't an endorsement kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the problem.
I'll call them back tomorrow night to see if we can. So I said, did you invite any candidates to interview? He says, no, we pretty much know. And I said, I know we know, but you want to make them think that it's a Democrat process.
Yeah, it's the old shortcut.
Yeah.
Which is undemocratic and which is not building a movement because you don't have a discussion of the issues.
Right.
You know, building the relationship. But you do what you can, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's life.
Coming back together.
I'm glad you know that.
Yeah. My husband and his mom are still, but it's, we just had the funeral Wednesday, so I tell them it's still early.
Jane Chapman.
I just asked where Jane was. Hi. Hi. How do you do?
How are you? We've accomplished a lot.
Good. Yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays are terrible for me this semester because my last time it was early day classes, so I was done by 12. They spread it out. Teaching.
Well, basically, we've got our list of people we want in the group. We've invited them. This is who showed up so far. Other people have been involved at earlier meetings. And the thought is just that you go with what you got, and we'll move things ahead, and then as people see what's going on, they might figure out where they can plug in if we ask them to do this, that, or the other. And I think there will be support and response. And so what we've come up with so far is we've identified a group of resources that we can use to educate ourselves about, at this point, primarily slavery and the whole development of things in terms of institutional racism, in terms of education. We got that right? And so now we're talking about how can we, Kevin and I are going to get it on computer in a way that everybody in the group can access, and then what are we talking about doing next?
we're kind of getting to that point
we're getting.
Right. We know that that's something that needs to get done.
Right, the library.
Right.
Sally
sent me a wonderful link. A state has a solar, and I can't remember which state, but I'll send it to you, Kevin. I'll copy it to you. I don't know if you can get it right away. But she said, well, this would be wonderful if we could do something like this in Chapel Hill. And it was the history of, the civil rights history or something. Absolutely phenomenal. And everything from written documents to video documentary links to, for this particular, I'm trying, it wasn't Mississippi. If I could get on my Gmail,
was it a website?
It was a website.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, is it possible?
I'll actually read her email.
She wanted to know if it was possible to even do something like that. In
Sally Green sent it to you?
I'll read the email.
She's what?
Right beside the new show. So I make no. You know what I was gonna say. So I make sure.
The many
I
faces. We'll take it.
Sure I don't give her more credit than she deserves. Than she deserves. But
take
the
good. Always take the good.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
That's not on tape.
Oh gosh.
So come on. Never close the door. Well,
we're not gonna share these. Yeah. These tapes outside of our group at this
point. We'll be 30 years. We'll be down a day.
With all of these, you know, we've got 11 resources right here that we need to sort of study.
And we were starting to talk about how to engage Jason's elsewhere.
Yeah. So we had mentioned maybe we want to just read their material and study that first, or... study, or do we bring them in and maybe they can give us a crash course,
I was thinking that we should somehow get a little bit of a handle on all of this stuff. Like, Kevin's got the idea of one person being assigned to read one thing, or a couple of people read one thing and then bring a report back. So it might be that we could cover several of these documents fairly
in a couple of
easily in one or two meetings. We could do along Freedom Road, we could do my dissertation, we could do the what's your name's dissertation.
Did you need help?
Yeah.
What did she do her dissertation? Virginia.
Chapel Hill desegregation.
The Virginia Hill. The Virginia Hill.
I don't know.
She was my teacher at Sewell. She's at Duke and White Nation. She just survived breast cancer.
Yeah.
She's had lunch. Actually, the coffee. That's why when you said that before, it didn't register yet.
Well, look and see if that's the same for Jim.
Did she
go
to PhD?
Yeah. It's a small world.
She just got it.
Girl.
Jeez.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I mean, for her, because she's older. She's about as bad as Ellie. Ellie got her law degree, 65?
Yeah, Deep Virginia Hill. Long time friend of mine.
She used to be married to. She got married.
Wait a minute. She taught at Sewell?
She taught at Sewell
pretty recently?
Oh, no. No. She taught at Sewell when I was in elementary.
Well, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, you know, this is the forgotten, unknown document that we have.
She married
Black
Valentine?
May have.
Got divorced quickly by.
I don't know.
Used to live off of Franklin, on Roosevelt.
I don't know.
I think I know a little bit too much more than what I learned about Franklin. So we got a book and two dissertations.
I think I may have the debt at home. I have
the debt.
So
and most people, because you led a book discussion.
The debt's pretty quick reading,
mm-hmm.
but there are crucial points that you can pull out of it. and find some good quotes that we can use in our materials, you know, and it's a nationally historical piece of work.
Big picture.
Big picture. And then we've got Heather Williams' dissertation or book about self-taught, which is this whole discussion of Black people educating themselves in the life of denial of resources. We've got the sections in my dissertation, which I don't think are all that long.
I wonder if dividing up your dissertation and presenting that would be like a way in to just be presenting that with you, and that we can all be diving into that.
Yeah, we could do that as a way to get started. I'm just not quite sure how much ground you want to cover that quick. That would probably be a good, that would probably be a good thing, given that I might not be here for later discussions, since I can do a good job with dealing with the, my own research and so forth. Why don't you look in the index there and see if you can find a section on education. It's not an index, I'm sorry. It's a
table of contents.
Table of contents.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a section called social services? Something.
Let's see. Teaching Jim Crow, institutional culture.
Let people loving freedom come to grow.
White reform and the Black struggle for educational opportunity.
That's it.
And that's before public health.
That may be, that's probably during Jim Crow, and so it may not be a full presentation we need, but I could fill in that earlier. So.
Okay.
I can come up with a list of page numbers to read. One of the things I could do when Kevin comes over, I'm not sure I'll do it sooner than that.
I think diving into this and discussing and presenting to each other and your input on it would really jumpstart us.
Yeah. And we, that's why I should do it, because I would understand that I wanted to connect the George Moses Horton stuff with the later.
Can I interrupt for 1 second? Mm-hmm. She says, Michelle, see this site. It's a great model. I don't know where there's funding and resources in Chapel Hill for something like this. Oh, she doesn't have it. It would be great to have, because I'm sure she don't want to commit it. It would be great to have. I'll look forward to having
they
lunch
spent so
with
much
you.
On the cookies.
I look forward to having lunch with you and Kevin. Thanks for making it happen. Okay, so it's the department. It's Washington. Seattle, Washington, Virginia. That's how they do theirs. Seattle Civil Rights and Labor History Project. It is wonderful.
Wow.
Look at what they have, Donnie. They actually have in here, documents and links all about Seattle, civil rights in Seattle. We could turn that into, I thought it was really good. You know, they were like, we'll save it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gone with the Wind is big all over the night. It's like Westeros, you know.
And it's
Seattle Civil Rights.
It focuses on Seattle Civil Rights History.
And if you click on some of the links, some of them pull you up to documents, and then others pull you up to little video clips.
I mean, this time and age in the world, we could, you know, here's this driving from 1864, and then here's somebody talking
and
about
I've been
here,
young.
Walking down the street.
If you don't mind, we could do a video clip with Yanni reading from some parts of his dissertation and discussing
and
that we can eventually upload. onto our site.
Bullet point, if you, or sermonettes.
I love that.
Yeah, who has a steady hand?
We don't have a tripod.
Tripods have a steady hand. There
tripod
you go.
Has a steady hand.
Yeah,
he's
got two of
them. Okay.
We're all
set. Can I bookmark this so I can go out of my It's dpts.washington.edu. department.washington.edu/civilr, just the R, civilr, /.
And we also already have some of that, because
that's different.
That's fully engaged with application and customer written.
Right.
Now
I'm aware of them, but it says, do I want to synchronize the bookmarks?
No. Yeah, say yes.
Sure.
I have a backup on the bookmarks.
Okay. I promise.
9:35, 9:40.
I promise.
What?
I promise that we wouldn't keep you more than 2 hours, and it's 2 hours and 10 minutes.
You guys haven't been here 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yes, we have. Okay, so.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Did I close out of my email?
Yeah, that's mine.
It's not down on the bottom tab anyway.
Well, if it is, I'm going to tell you.
Don't
read it all.
One of these for this. I'll take it from UNC Press. I'll take the green one.
You're out.
I'm off.
Okay. But you're skillful. You probably can do a little back.
I'll give you back our order too today.
With their labs.
I'm like, how in the world are they getting these answers with these wrong formula with the formula worked out wrong? They're getting the right answers. And so does Wesley just punch. As long as we have to do is we don't pass the check your homework sheet link, and that's basically come and show you the answer. But it's okay because you take your exam, you don't have to know how to work out the formula. So I'm not saying I'm going to act like I don't know this. So, I really didn't see you know that we're going to plan for next Thursday, right? Well, I know that doesn't work for you. You don't have to always be here. No, I keep you in the loop, and with your input is valuable. So,
should we do Wednesday?
Wednesday is the best for us, period.
Okay.
But I can come. I'm going to.
So say Thursday,
it'll be late. Don't wait on me.
We need to be doing it, and then people can. It's like Wednesday night supper at church. They have it, and people come or they don't come.
Right.
But
that's right.
So trying to get this. Yeah. It's just like let's be doing it, and we can always be moving it forward.
And not feel like you know we all have to come every Thursday. Yeah. But if next Thursday's just me, or the following week it's
I won't be here.
Right. We just keep it going. So, in saying that, if we plan for next Thursday,
what should we read?
What is our homework between now and Thursday?
I teach!
Where would you like us?
I guess the homework would be, in terms of doing something, me and Kevin.
That would be in between.
But like the chapter as far as reading.
Weekends with your family, so that'd be like you and I get together Monday or Tuesday.
Right.
Tuesday evening, but before Thursday, sections of the dissertation they should read.
Yeah.
So
what I need to do is get together the page numbers for my dissertation and give them out to people. And
have one of your daughters help you with that.
Right. Okay.
First. Because right now education only has 5 pages. So there's highlights that you want people to read up on. So 3 or 4 of us can come next Thursday. We'll already have this read the parts of the dissertation and have questions.
Yeah.
I mean, what we could do is we could just go in order. I mean, the first section is 35 pages, another 35. I mean, we could just, like, if there are 3 of us that we know are going to be here.
Are we talking about the whole dissertation?
And I could try and coordinate a schedule to come and start the video.
Yeah, this one gets a little long.
You can
can start that. You can see, you can do that. You can start. I don't think we should, because I think we should try and get as much of that tonight as possible, because you can always get it.
Before you do that, why don't you get the video that Wilp did for their TV show? Or at least ask Lori Hoyt if it includes discussion of education.
Okay.
Because they did an hour long.
Oh. For the People's Channel.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we should put that on our list.
Should that be part of our sort of the reading list that we're doing?
I can't remember the contest.
Okay.
I talked about a broad array of things having to do with institutional racism. But I don't think that's the place to start, but it might be if you have time to look at that and get a feel for what kind of resource that is. I would like to, instead of going chapter by chapter, I would like to focus on sections that have to do with education first.
Sounds good.
And just keep our eye on that prize for the moment. And then
you get that direction from you as far as which
we'll hit employment, and that'll be a whole different bunch of reading areas. So I think I just need to get those pages out. And do you all have my dissertation on your computers?
Not on my computer,
but I have the hard copy that I've often used.
We'll be putting that on our library page, so it'll be.
So
there.
We could go get it. Okay.
And you can grab those sections off, or you can do it on your computer. You can do it wherever you want.
Are there particular sections you want to stand out in your mind?
Yeah, definite sections that all relate to education.
Could you tell us this now, or?
Well, I didn't review the thing, but okay. I would say basically there's stuff about George Moses Wharton, and there's stuff about the development of public school education.
No, it's in each chapter. Like in the first chapter, there's George Moses Wharton, and there's Origins of Public Higher Education in North Carolina. The second one.
Yeah. So just let me put those page numbers out and
okay.
Tell you what they are.
Okay. I have it. I can have this in. This forward to you guys, right? Is that,
I have a hard copy.
Let me just keep the hard copy. And then I know you can carry it. Y'all have that.
Okay.
I'll get you on here.
Tell you what, how about you have that discussion
another time,
because I think
I want to tell you something. Guess what?
What?
Tim Tyson's Love and Sign My Name movie documentary, he premiered it at the state convention Saturday.
Okay.
Awesome. Al said he has a copy. I'm going to see. He needs to bring it over here too. Oh, it's awesome. It's next week, right? We saw it.
Yeah,
we've already seen. Yeah, we got
it.
Oh, it's awesome, yeah. So
we got to
get it over here.
I thought we missed the
day. It's a new one. I mean, it's that's the first public.
So after we do these readings and have our next discussion, then we will think about maybe inviting Virginia or.
Right.
No.
Okay.
And read in advance of them coming. Like whoever's coming, we read up for that one.
Yeah,
so
or maybe have more than one person come. Streamline our.
Yeah, that makes sense, Johnny.
I had to deal with that. My grandmother used to tell me, don't have a whole lot of sadness in your heart.
It's too much trying to do both of you at the same time, so.
Too much, more than my heart. I'm going to get with Cindy and Jean all the time. And Kevin can come over and work with you on the computer in the next couple of days, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe not over the weekend, but.
You said maybe Monday?
Yeah.
Well, the weekends aren't totally out, but I have big plans for with the kids on Saturday.
We're off to Brown. Going up to see Camellia.
I'll tell you, he said, hey.
What's she doing up with Brown?
She's just being a freshman and having a great time, and she's taking geology.
Oh, she's taking geology.
She's taking geology and some kind of math.
See you next week?
No. All right.
Sleep well.
Have you been able to put that on your laptop?
Some of it I did, but I realized that the files are bigger than I thought. Well, in terms of sending them to you.
I can bring another tool that'll bring it down to a smaller level.
Okay.
Yeah. You can use a different compression.
That'll be good.